Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to The Conversation. I want to say thank you so much for tuning into the episode today. And our prayer is that something that you hear today would bless you, encourage you, equip you in some way. This podcast is brought to you by Capital Community Church. Today, we are thrilled to be sitting down for an episode of The Conversation with Mark and Shauna Carey. Now, the Carey family was recently with us for a Kids Sunday at CCC in the month of February, which just happens to be our family month. And that Sunday, I got to tell you, it was absolutely amazing. We're thanking God that at least three children received the gift of the Holy Ghost for the first time. And everybody in attendance, whether you were a kid or some other age or stage, everybody had a blast that Sunday, I got to tell you. Now, Mark and Shauna, they are parents to three awesome kids, Avon, Eliza, and Winnie. They serve as members on the team of Life Church, which is in Burlington, Ontario. And also, Mark has had a longtime career in aviation, currently flying commercially for Air Canada. In the conversation today, Mark shares a story of how he flew a rescue mission to Antarctica during the Antarctic winter. They both share a little bit about their philosophy on kids ministry, and Shauna shares about an exciting initiative that she has launched that blesses ministry, particularly ministry wives in her region. And so we're very excited to bring you the content today. Again, we do pray that something you hear today will be a blessing to you. And without further delay, enjoy the conversation. Well, we're so glad that everybody is joining us today. Thanks for joining the conversation. And I want to say special thanks to Mark and Shauna for being on the podcast. They have been with us for a kids ministry weekend. As we are recording this, it's Saturday, the day before Sunday, and we're looking forward to tomorrow.
Right.
When this is released, not exactly sure when that will be, but we'll have already gone through Sunday. No doubt it was a phenomenal day. We're looking forward to it from this vantage point. But before we talk about kids ministry, before we talk about anything else, I want to give you guys the chance to just greet our audience and say hello. And if you want to give us just a brief synopsis of you, your family, and let people know what you guys are all about.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Mark Carey, and my wife, Shauna, and we come from Burlington, Ontario, and we're just so excited and thrilled to be here this weekend with Pastor Matt, Pastor Jack, and their teams for Kids Sunday. Shauna and I have been married for 11 years now, and have been predominantly in the Burlington area. And again, we're just really excited to be here.
Sure. You want to chime in, talk about family? And
ditto. We are so honored for this opportunity to be here in this fabulous church with these wonderful, incredible people that are just doing ministry and the kingdom in a beautiful way. So, and we love that we can bring our kids along to be a part of this. We have three beautiful children. Avon is 9, Eliza is 6, and Winnie is 5. And they're just so excited to be here as part of this as well.
Well, we're very grateful that you're here and that you've taken the time. And getting to know your kids has been fun. And in fact, they're all downstairs. My kids, your kids are all playing Lego right now. So now the theme of the Kids Sunday was SOAR. It is SOAR. Totally leaning into aviation, pilots, planes, which is appropriate. You are a pilot. You fly for Air Canada, correct?
That's correct, yes.
I'm curious, for the sake of the audience, talk about briefly your passion for flying and your career.
Well, Matt, my passion for flying started at a very young age. I was a little boy, and my father was an airline pilot as well. So I grew up being exposed to the environment. And I have known aviation all my life, and it has always been a passion of mine. I've known ever since I was young that that is really all I wanted to do. So from that sense, I knew I was going to become a pilot one day. And, you know, I've been flying now for 30 plus years, and had a lot of great experiences along the way.
Wow. So part of the catalyst that we wanted to do this conversation, beyond talking about kids ministry, was that you have a really interesting story from way back in 2001.
Right.
At the time, you were not flying commercially for Air Canada.
No.
But you can describe the setting. But you flew one of the Well, it was the first, and I'll let you tell the story, the first flight, you say it, there's like an official way to say this.
It was the first winter landing at the South Pole during an Antarctic winter.
There you go. And it was on a rescue mission, and I just think it would be really interesting to capture that story, talk about how dangerous it was and all of that. Go ahead.
Well, it started in 2001, the early part of 2001. And I had been to Antarctica a handful of times before this trip, but only in the summertime. So I was familiar with the terrain, the environment, and really what was required to take an airplane down to Antarctica in extremely, you know, inhospitable environments. And so as 2001 began, the summer season was really coming to a close, and typically all the airplanes that have flown down in Antarctica during the summer season would leave and go back to their respective countries. And so predominantly the type of work that takes place down there is scientific research. So most countries that are a part of the Antarctic Treaty would have a base. And as support for that base, they would often have aircraft that were chartered to support their Antarctic missions. And I was happening to fly for the Italian Antarctic program, and I had done that for a few years prior. So I had the experience, but in the beginning of 2001, as all of these aircraft are leaving Antarctica, the winter crew is basically getting set up and settled as they spend the next 7 months of their life in complete isolation at the very bottom of the world. And we're talking thousands and thousands of miles away from anybody.
And no sunlight for the basically the entire duration.
No sunlight. So the Antarctic winter, you know, they're looking at 6 to 7 months of 24 hours a day
wild
darkness. With temperatures, you know, getting down to minus 75, minus 80 degrees.
Centigrade.
Yeah, that would be in excess of 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't always do the correlation, the translation in my mind well. So talk about what happened next. There was somebody that basically needed to be airlifted out of there in an emergency, and you were the guy they tagged to do that, correct?
Correct. So as the winter team was in place, the early part of the winter, the only physician of a group of about 50 people that remain at the South Pole developed pancreatitis. And so the Americans who control the operations at the South Pole, they figured that it would be beneficial to have that doctor removed and replaced with somebody else, another doctor. And so they began to put a plan into place, which was a very extensive plan requiring the U.S. military. And, you know, as the days and weeks passed, the temperatures at the South Pole got to the point where the U.S. military aircraft that would be capable of doing an operation like that became incapable, in the sense that the temperatures became too cold for the aircraft to operate in, because they would rely on various things like hydraulics to power the flight control systems of the aircraft, and those are temperature limited. Our aircraft that I was flying at that time didn't have a temperature limitation on it. And so the company I was working for was on a ready standby. And as soon as the Americans pulled out, we were given the green light to start really putting this mission together. We took two aircraft all the way to a British base on the peninsula of Antarctica called Rothera. And from Rothera, we staged the final leg into the South Pole. It was a 1,452 nautical mile journey, 10 hours one way in a little ski-equipped aircraft. There were four crew members on board. There was myself and the other pilot. We had a flight engineer and the replacement doctor, and it was 10 hours from Rothera to the South Pole.
So just to kind of drive that home, it's you're already in Antarctica.
Correct.
And 10 hours just to get to the center of Antarctica.
Correct.
You know, you don't even really realize how big that mass is down there.
Antarctica is the size of, when you think about it, the size of the United States and Mexico combined. So it's quite a large landmass covered in ice and snow.
So mission accomplished. Obviously, you're here
today.
Here today. No major complications in the mission. Was there?
I wouldn't say there were no major complications. There were a few hiccups along the way that got our attention. Absolutely.
Yep. Including, you said, and you're going to mention this tomorrow, you step out of the plane and snot freezes in your nose.
Literally.
Probably the biggest complication, I would guess.
The biggest complication. So, you know what? Once I got past that hurdle, everything was downhill from there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, kind of a neat story. And Pastor brought it up because at the time you were kind of connected to the church in St. John, where the Lehmans and the Woodwards were both attending at the time and leading in leadership. So he said, we need to capture that story. It's just a cool story. So,
I love sharing the story. It's a fascinating story. And, and I like to use that as a personal testimony. I think God was orchestrating things and putting me in a certain place at a certain time in my life in a certain situation. And now I get the benefit of sharing that with other fellow Christians.
Yep, that's awesome. And Shauna, you said there's probably a Guinness World Record that mission somewhere that it's just not registered, but you'd like to.
It's just not. Yeah, you have to do a little bit of back work to make it happen, but it is because it was the first ever landing at the South Pole. Have they even done it again since then?
They have. Since that first one in 2001, this particular company has been back to the South Pole to do other rescues, and I think they're maybe up to about 3 or 4 now, but that was the first groundbreaking
rescue. But only ever in a rescue setting, right? Because there's no other need, really, to go.
Right.
To put yourself in that danger.
Yeah.
Yeah, during the winter months, they just kind of, like you said, they hunker in the bunker, they settle in for the winter.
Yeah.
So let's transition to ministry. We'll get to kids ministry. You guys are part of a thriving church in Burlington, Ontario, under the leadership of Steve and Sherry O'Donnell, great friends of this church and just great leaders, great people. Talk about the church there and your role and how you serve in that church there.
So Shauna and I, we serve on the senior leadership team at Life Church with Pastor Steve and Sister Sherry, who are absolutely top-notch leaders. And so our role at Life Church is we head the connection team. So when somebody walks through the doors of Life Church for the very first time, they are going to come into contact with either myself, my wife, or somebody from our team. And our objective, our goal, is to make sure that their experience at Life Church is an absolutely incredible experience, because we really want to retain that guest. We want them to come back a second, a third, a fourth time. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we want them to develop a relationship with God.
Right. So it's not kids ministry particularly.
No, actually not at all, really. I mean, I serve in Sunday school, but it's not like our main thing. It's actually a running joke at our church. Mark is known, like, if you walk through the doors, he's the first face you're going to see. And it's a constant tease of he is always telling everyone, you're awesome. Is that what you say? Amazing.
I can't Pastor remember. Matt.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Amazing. So now everybody walks in and you're like, you're amazing.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's
yeah.
So amazing.
Mark really loves people, and he does such a great job being that kind of front man and making people feel welcome, and it makes all the difference, right? Mm-hmm. And when we get a lot of feedback from Life Church and people coming, it's always how welcoming and how friendly everyone is.
Well, you're the tip of that spear, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. You're obviously here to lean in on a kid's Sunday and coordinate and lead that for us. So given the fact that that's not your wheelhouse necessarily at your home church, I'm sure that the audience and even I am interested to kind of hear the story of how kids ministry has become at least one of the focuses of your life and ministry. And Shauna, maybe just talk about kids ministry generally for you guys, how this has come about, kind of traveling to a few churches and partnering with them, your philosophy on kids ministry. Let's just start unpacking that topic.
Okay. So while Mark was off rescuing pilots in the South Pole, I was living in, I like to tease, in the middle of Nowhereville, Northern Ireland, where my parents are missionaries. And my dad moved us there when I was 14 from Central Florida, so Disney World in my backyard. And then he moved us there, and it was a massive transition. And I'm a very creative individual. I like to say that when I was there, cardboard became my best friend, because we're missionaries, so there's not a lot of funds. And I would just collect all the cardboard and I would make my backdrops. And Sunday school became my outlet. It became my avenue. It became the place where I could put my creativity to place. I think there's a beautiful place for creatives in the ministry, besides just children's ministry. But that was the one that I got my foot in the door, using those gifts and talents and passions that I have. And so in that some degree isolation there in Ireland, children's ministry allowed me to find myself and come alive. And so I would... also, the people in Northern Ireland, they're beautiful people, but in a church setting, they're very reserved and very, you just, it's a place you respect. If you're going to act crazy, you don't do that in the church. And I wanted to kind of shake things up, and my dad, being the goofball that he is as well, he let me have one Sunday every now and again. And eventually we got to the place actually where I was taking it over once a month. And I would just come in and bring the fun, not just for the kids. I believed it could be a service where we laugh and we're goofy and we're silly, all ages, from the youngest to the oldest. Coming from Disney World, or from Florida and Disney World so close, I had a passion for the way that they had done things. I think back in the day when they were great, they did things really well. And Walt Disney's philosophy was he wanted a place where parents and children could do something together. And so I wanted to kind of mimic that in a church setting and say, we could have a service every now and again where we come down to their level and we're fun, but it's not just them. We get to engage in it as well. So I took my passion for acting. I took my passion for creativity, costume design, set design, all of those things. And I got to pour it into that avenue. And then how we got here now. So Mark came along, we got married, and children's ministry kind of went on the back burner for a while. And then COVID hit, and we started making videos for our church online for Sunday school, as a lot of churches were doing at that time. And people seemed to like them. We were having fun. Our whole family was a part of it. And so it just kind of grew from there that after having put it kind of on the back burner, and then marriage and children and all of this stuff, and God just kind of brought that whole thing full circle to where we are now.
Yeah. So... you know, came from that maybe season of isolation. And then during COVID, it kind of blossomed at your local church. But you've also been doing a little bit, you know, some churches in Ontario, which we got wind of that, and we wanted to bring you down to the East Coast. So when you're approaching a kids' Sunday or a kids' service or whatever, like the one you're going to be a part of tomorrow, how do you really flesh that out from, you know, the moment that you take it? I'm just kind of interested in your process, and maybe somebody else that's listening that maybe is responsible for kids ministry or maybe puts together kids services. How do you approach that time to really engage the kids, but also bring the adults along for that ride? So let's kind of get into maybe just a little bit of the nitty gritty, the details of what you guys do.
Okay. It's probably a little chaotic. We just take inspiration as it comes, right? I'll find it from anywhere. When I first started doing this, I took my inspiration. I mentioned Walt Disney, but above and beyond that, the greatest inspiration of all was Jesus. And he was a storyteller, right? He loved to tell parables. And I think when you tell stories, you captivate all ages, all levels. And it actually all started when I was 27, the story aspect, when I was 27 years old on my birthday, waiting for love and being dramatic and pining and all of that stuff. God dropped a story in my heart, and it was like a testimony. I'm actually going to tell it on Sunday night. It's the first story I ever wrote. And I also had a passion for Dr. Seuss. I love the concept of a story that rhymes and flows. I just think it's captivating and memorable. And so on my 27th birthday, sitting on this big field in the front of our church, God dropped this story in my heart, and I wrote it down in a flurry. And it was the thing that initially sparked my love of storytelling. And so that's kind of, I usually start with a story. I wrote a few, and it's all God. I literally feel like he just downloads it in my spirit. So I think to unpack how we approach it, I do it in connection with who I am, my personality. And I think that's all anybody can do. And ministry, when you're doing ministry, children, any aspect where God would use you, it has to flow from who you are. And if it does that, it's authentic and it's real. And you don't have to be afraid if it's maybe a little different or a little odd or people won't get it, because they will. Mm-hmm. They'll grasp it, right? And so I kind of approach it from me being me and then letting God just flow through that.
And not being afraid to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, what this audience may not know is just below us in our green room, there's this giant storm dress that looks like it lights up. And
yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, you know, lit up and in function, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow to see it. I do know that there's an airplane flying contest from the balcony mm-hmm. at some point.
Absolutely.
So, you know, embracing some of those fun elements, and that really pulls them in.
Yeah, yeah. Let your hair down a little bit. You know, like you can, don't take yourself too serious. Mm-hmm. Come in and have a little fun. And I think there's room for that in the church every now and again to just show that we are real. We're goofy. We're fun. Laughter doth good like a medicine.
Sure.
Right. All of that concept of just we are creative beings who created by a creative God. I mean, he's made some weird looking creatures and amazing things across the planet. So I feel like we can embrace that as well. And yeah, I have a skirt that lights up. I have several skirts that light up. I just like to have fun, and I like to almost maybe a little bit of shock. So they're like, whoa, you'll remember what was said because she wore a crazy skirt that lit up.
And if I can add something to
please.
That, you know, we'll bring elements of, video media to, you know, a service where our family is involved. So we've taken the time to basically tell a story in short video clips. And over the course of a service, we will, you know, put those segments of video in to continue telling a story. And then what we'll do is near the end, we will come into the auditorium and live act out the conclusion of the story that's being told. So it's a really unique element that Sean and I will do. It always goes a little bit different every single time because we don't practice these things 24/7. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just really work off each other. And obviously we work off the anointing and the power and the Spirit of God as he really flows through us to connect with kids. Yeah. So we'll add those elements. Like you say, we're going to be throwing in the first ever crazy airplane toss that CCC mm-hmm. has ever experienced.
This may be the first in any church service anywhere. Maybe another Guinness World Record that we need to talk about.
We are literally going to light up the skies of CCC with paper airplanes. So you are not going to want to miss that.
I love all. It.
So we do those sort of fun elements. And then near the end of the service, basically after this flight is concluding, I'll just come in and I'll spend about 10 minutes as we descend in and land this service and talk to the kids and share a little bit about my story that I've just shared with you today.
Yeah, I think it's so awesome. I mean, it seemed like an obvious choice for us to kind of pick an airplane aviation theme given your profession. You guys have totally just leaned in and embraced this, which is amazing. Have you done this theme before?
Yeah, we some of this content we already had from a previous when we did children's camp and videos that we did during COVID. And so we had some content, but when we knew you were, man, we just fully went all over. All
we're taking this to a whole new level.
Yeah, a whole new level. Yeah.
Like when I think about aviation generally, like I feel like there's a lot of little principles that can be lifted, whether it's, you know, the law of grace is greater than sin and the law of lift is greater than gravity. And like, I don't know if there's like little tidbits and little principles there that just seem obvious and that you can lean into, but I think it's great.
Yeah.
In short, it's great. And we're
excited.
We're so grateful that you guys are here. You know, we've been going for 22 minutes. We'll land this plane. We'll at least start our descent. We've talked about your story to, is it Antarctica? I'm not saying that right, am I?
You are saying that just, Pastor Matt, you're amazing.
I felt like you were adding the hard C in there, Antarctica.
That might be my West Coast accent.
Maybe so. And we talked a little bit about kids ministry. We were having lunch yesterday, and if you wouldn't mind, you were talking about an initiative that you've started in the Ontario district, which was a great you know, we had a great conversation about it at the dinner table, based on a book called The Genesis Project.
Process, yeah.
It's just something that's kind of opened up for you in this season. And I was wondering if you'd mind just kind of sharing what that's all about and how it's been ministering to, at this present time, ministry wives. Mm-hmm. So I know we're kind of jumping tracks here to a whole other topic, but I know it's a passion of yours right now, Shauna. I'd love to hear you talk about it for a bit.
Yeah, we clearly wear a lot of hats. We just, you know, just before we get into that, I just think it's so important to use all of the parts that who you are, the things that you're interested in, and they could be from aviation to children's ministry to mental health. And so the concept of the Genesis process, it ties in because it's about the health of the whole family, which I think is the work of the kingdom. It's what we do as a church. And long story short, my pastor's wife and I, we had been in prayer believing that God was going to give us something. And I know there's a lot of programs out there that people use for recovery. So it's basically a recovery group. But I use it for everybody. I think everybody could benefit from a session of therapy. But this is a type of group therapy, and I use that very loosely just to give it some context. But it's a place where we talk about our habits and hang-ups, things that we've picked up through our lives that now cause us to behave in ways that we wish we didn't. And what's problematic sometimes in the church is that we come in and we get rid of the typical things. We don't do those things that we used to. We just, sometimes we traded them for something that seemed a little more socially acceptable behaviors. But they're just as harmful, and they're just as hurtful, and they're not everything God would have you to be. And so God brought this book along for us. There's some other churches in the States that are using it. And I started running it in my church. And then as my pastor's wife and I were talking, we said, couldn't we get this out to other churches? And we thought a good way to start that would be to have the conversation with the leadership. So I run a group with pastors' wives, mainly in Ontario right now, very small. I keep the group very small and intimate so that we can have real conversations talking about real things. And my goal is then, hopefully, it's not a requirement, but it's a goal that you would then take it to your church and you would start one. And that we could start to really generate the conversation around mental health, emotional health, and developing ourselves, being in the game, being doers of the word and not just hearers. And what sets this book aside from a lot of others is that every week we do something called a risk. And I know that word sounds scary and people don't like it, but you don't change unless you have new experiences. You don't change through words. That's why you can sit on a pew and you can hear people talk and you can hear the ministry. You can hear the word come week after week, month after month, and nothing ever changes. But if you were to go home and apply that to an area that's maybe a little bit scary, a little bit challenging, a little bit hard, have that conversation you've been avoiding, talk about that thing with your spouse or with your long-lost sibling. There's just so many practical applications to taking risks in life. And they don't have to be scary. I've had people who had never taken care of themselves. They'd never take a day for themselves. So they had to go and go to the spa and treat themselves. I've had people had to have very serious conversations with someone that they'd been putting off, in their childhood or their family. So it's about looking at your life, going, where am I being held back? Where am I not growing and developing, and why? And when you understand that, then go, okay, well, now maybe I have to do something to get myself out of that a little bit.
Does the process, the Genesis process, is it kind of mirroring the creation account? Is that kind of the premise of the book and this group?
Not necessarily. It's more so just, I think, new beginnings.
Okay,
something, yeah, like a fresh start. Yeah, looking back is more what he's pulling from the author of the book is.
Understood, yeah. I think that's wonderful. And, you know, I think it's a good thing that this generation, the younger generation, but, you know, those that are alive today are willing to have these conversations. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you can get so caught up in the work of God that it's hard to say, you can do some damage in doing so. But if we can take a moment and catch a breath and say, am I healthy? Am I well? Mm-hmm. We can actually end up doing more for the kingdom of God in the long run. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that, and I know it's one of the facets of your ministry. And like I said, we are landing the plane right around a half an hour, like we said. But I do appreciate that you guys wear those different hats, and it is evident that you wear them with excellence, and we're grateful for that. And I know that CCC is going to be blessed tomorrow by it. I don't know if there's anything, any last words that you want to say before we sign off and turn off the seatbelt sign.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CCC. It's going to be a great Sunday tomorrow. We're so thrilled to be here.
It's awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to The Conversation. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to rate and review this podcast, share this episode with a friend, and subscribe for future content. This podcast is produced by Capital Community Church in Fredericton, New Brunswick. If you're in the area, we would love to have you for one of our weekly services. For service times and more information, please check out capitalcommunity.ca. We look forward to seeing you again next month on The Conversation.